shit. Get my dick straight. All right. Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week, William Miller of Firaxis fame.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
You need a new fame. These fames are old now.
All right.
Your fame is snakes.
Snakes.
Snakes fame.
Snakes
okay.
fame.
Okay.
We've got also it. Got Justin Ficarotta of...
What's my new fame, Blake Buck?
Rape. Your new fame is rape.
I can see him just trying to find a word that's not that doesn't have to do with dicks or butts or something like that.
I tried my best, all right?
Kill Monty fame is fine.
Kill Monty fame will have to do. So, guys, news is trucking along this week. We've been fortunate. Even though it's the slower months, news has still been pumping out pretty good. We got some good releases for you coming up. So all this is happening on this week of the best damn podcast ever for Wednesday, August 12th. On this week's show, no battle. We got no new calls, so there's no battle.
If you want to sign up for battle, 845-BATTLE-9. Leave your number, or you can send us an email with battle as the subject line and your number and name.
Right. We're not going to have battle until we get new folks doing it.
You know what we could do?
What's that?
We can call up TK again, because I just got finished reading Ender's Game.
Uh-huh.
We could break him.
Watch this. I've read that book.
Whoa.
Like,
whoa,
we need, like, glass shatter noise.
Dude, I think everybody in our generation has read that. Anybody that's, like, a remote, like, sci-fi fan has read that
book.
Yeah,
I heard they're making it into a movie.
Well, that's there have been they rumors have been going around for a while.
Yeah, no, I just read that shit, too.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, no, yeah, we can give TK two battles in a row.
Yeah.
And break his
this
spirit.
This time he doesn't get to use his hands.
Yes.
Paint with your face!
Right. Nope. No battle. Somebody's got to cowboy up and submit themselves to battle before we're going to do it again.
All right. So this week in the news, Square Enix reveals Final Fantasy / Saga Frontier / Magic the Gathering Lovecraftian mashup.
Ooh.
That was a mouthful. Speaking of which. Brutal Legend settles out of court.
I hope that's the title.
Yeah. Brutal Legend suit settles out of court, and Best Buy's test selling new games at used prices. All this and more in this week's Best Damn Podcast Ever.
So in terms of Lovecraftian pan-dimensional horrors, I think this game takes the cake. Squaresoft is they put up a countdown timer, which they are prone to do from time to time.
Oh.
And actually, we should, again...
It doesn't matter what your countdown timer is counting to. It's going to be awesome.
Dude, we need a countdown
I don't like
timer.
These things. Yeah, we should put one. I think we should have a section.
Pseudo Sushi, all right, write us a countdown timer to some arbitrary date.
Yeah.
And we're going to put it on the site.
Nothing will happen. But
Or will it?
Anyway.
Do not spoil our timer, asshole.
Fans, Final Fantasy fans were their nips were a Twitter when this countdown timer sort of froze on 7 for a little too long.
Speaking of Twitter... Twitter.com/BigHotShow. Hello. Why have we never said that on the show? Idiot.
Oh, that's Blake Buck's Twitter, in case you guys want to follow him.
That's
I'm
tweets.
Will
R. Miller. So, Blake Buck, you are not Twitter.com/BlakeBuck.
Oh, that's right. We've never talked about this. All right. If you go to Twitter.com/BlakeBuck, you will see my photo. You will see posts about how I love butter and how I hang out with Ben Buck all the time. You will see many of a thing. That is not me. I do not know who that is. It is not the real Blake Buck.
That's the mark of fame.
Dude,
when you have
a
Twitter
fake
impersonator
Twitter account in your name.
Yeah.
So the real Blake Buck is Big Hot Show with no W on the O. So you can follow us and get the updates and tweets. Everybody's got to do tweets these days, you know, like developers.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing tweets. I was like the last to catch on this tweet thing.
I know. So anyway, back to this. Squaresoft excited its fans but dashed their hopes when they reveal that they are releasing a sequel to Lord of Vermilion 2, which is a card-based arcade game.
Oh my god.
Featuring characters from Final Fantasy, Saga
oh
Frontier,
my god.
And Magic the Gathering.
Oh my god. Might as well have said, like...
Now,
this is like Marvel vs. Capcom 2, except shitty. with, like, ass characters.
Now, we all knew that they were going down a dark road when in Final Fantasy VIII, they flirted with a card game.
Oh, yeah.
Final Fantasy IX, they...
I remember the deep dynamics of it. If the number is higher on my side of the card,
actually,
I
no.
win.
The card game was fine. It was well-designed. But I didn't want to play that. That's not what I signed up for. Okay? I want, you know, Final Fantasy, not card game. Anyway, that's another
Final
topic.
Fantasy VIII is a blemish on the greatness that is the PlayStation 1 Final Fantasies in my book.
I think it's
7, 9, great games.
Yeah.
8.
I think you're right.
You know what, anyway. Though? 7, does need a remake, because I'd try to go back and play that again, and it just looks
exactly.
so ass.
It's so ass now.
I've been playing it on the PlayStation, on the PS3. I downloaded it. You can put the smoothing mode on.
No,
it makes
not,
it a little bit
it's
better.
It's not
but.
The smoothing. Like they need to take Crisis Core, except instead of making the bullshit Crisis Core spinoff story, just remake the original.
Dude, no, dude. Crisis Core looked like balls. I saw
Crisis
you playing
Core
that game.
Good.
Oh my god, it looked like ass. Like
the graphics.
The characters look good, but the environments were like boring, and you know.
Oh, what dude. Do you know about environments, huh? Okay. William Miller crushed.
I'm speechless. Like,
they're fine. There's nothing wrong with the environments. You're just looking at things to nitpick.
No, that game. I don't like that game.
Yeah, all right. So, what else about this?
That's it.
This has to make though Square Enix the biggest cock tease in the games industry. Because how do you stop at 7?
Oh, I know.
And it
right?
not be
Come
a
on,
Final
guys.
Fantasy VII remake.
Come on, guys. Anyway, I'm sure it's got Cloud Strife in it or something. Actually, it features characters from Final Fantasy IV, which I thought was kind of interesting. So that's the only character set that they have in this game is Final Fantasy IV characters.
Okay. All right. I think we need to send Squaresoft a letter. Dear Squaresoft, over the past several years, your talent has dwindled, leaked into a pool of your own shit. And now you can only re-release the classic franchise I once loved, now as horrible, horrible rebastardizations of their once great selves. Thank you for destroying a little part of my childhood. Yours.
Sincerely, Blake Buck.
Blake Edwardian Buck.
The third.
Esquire.
Esquire.
Oh. So I'm done with this. This is like the Guitar Hero smash hits of Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Now speaking of Guitar Hero smash hits, those of you that remember the whole Activision Brutal Legend debacle that's been.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about something else, but
no, that was a shitty half segue.
Okay. Okay.
So the whole Activision Brutal Legend debacle that's been playing out the last couple months, you know, supposedly. Activision is worried, you know, that Brutal Legend will cut into its Guitar Hero sales or whatever, hence the shitty segue. Anyway, that has now been settled out of court. So
I wonder how much K was changed hands.
I wonder, what I want to know is whose hands it changed into.
Right, like
who won?
Paid who and who?
Yeah, well, supposedly, you know, I'm gonna skip ahead here, but supposedly, like, the whole thing's been settled, it's done. The details, it says, are still confidential. However, someone has commented that they don't want to disclose any details of the settlement, but it's very likely that Activision is receiving little to no compensation from a Double Fine for this. And,
good God, good.
The Brutal Legend will retain its Rocktober release date, so it will make that. And
part of this press release said that that they made Jack Black's chops a little bit bigger.
It's hidden in there somewhere.
Yeah, they put that in there as an addendum.
Because in light of recent loss litigation, we have decided to make his chops 10% larger.
That's one of the
Enjoy
terms
that.
Of the settlement.
Activision demanded it.
So pretty much, you know, if you remember, like, Activision Activision first sued Double Fine, and then Double Fine countersued, basically calling Activision a bunch of cocksuckers. And it looks like Activision really had no chance of winning this in court. It looks like, you know, most of this settlement was to avoid it going to court, where Activision would very publicly lose.
So I'm still confused as to who's publishing this game.
EA.
EA's. Okay. All right. That clears that up.
But I just you were talking about this earlier, William. Everyone hates Activision nowadays. There's nobody. I mean, EA, they're a big company, you know, and it's like, well, you know, I don't hate EA. Nobody likes Activision, though. They're just the dicks of the gaming industry.
All right. Look, like back in the day when the disgruntled EA spouse letter came, everybody hated on EA.
No,
and now everybody's hating
on. Even back then. You know, it wasn't, there wasn't as much like, okay, it's, I think I just hate Activision because they just drive beloved things into the ground.
Well, see, there's one sentence in this article that I read that, you know, it kind of just drives the point home for me. It's the initial lawsuit that Activision filed against Brutal Legend. They claimed that even though Activision declined to release Brutal Legend after merging with original publisher Vivendi Games, it claims it never lost the rights to put the game out. That tells me that we are not going to publish this game. However, you know, we don't want anyone else to publish this game. We want this game to not exist.
Yeah, what the fuck? Like, especially when you've got a whole team of people working on it and then want it done, and then you're like, oh, well, our little contract here says you can never release it.
It's like this is like a game that's like, you know, it's totally like beloved. It's like a giant fucking heavy metal teddy bear, this game. You know?
I gotta say though, this game had better be amazing.
You're letting your expectations get ahead of you.
Because if it's not, like, I'm gonna be very disappointed. Like all this effort, all this publicity, this game better rock my face.
Well, speaking of rock faces, I don't know if you guys see all this, but they have the track list.
Oh yeah, didn't they release the whole soundtrack?
Yeah, the whole soundtrack, which is like 100 tracks.
Oh nice. How does
it features
look?
Mermaider by Death Clock is in there. Dragon Force Through the Fire and Flames.
Nice.
Let's see. What else I got? A lot of Judas Priest. It's mostly heavier metal. Mastodon, Megadeth, Motley Crue. There's some classics. I mean, it's a huge list. Of course, Tenacious D has to be in there. It's looking hot. I'm digging on it. We'll see come October.
Yeah.
Rocktober. I feel like they make money when we say that. Also, what I was going to add, Justin Fick, when you started this story... This is kind of a side news story, but you know Guitar Hero Smash Hits and Guitar Hero 4, a.k.a. World Tour, and the new Guitar Hero, you're going to be able to import, it said, some of your songs into the new one, and all DLC will be transferable to the new Guitar Hero.
Nice.
So finally, they've gotten on board like Rock Band has and made, but it's not all tracks. So it's the downloadable ones and some from those two I just mentioned.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah, they're starting to get on it then. It's not not quite Rock Band where just you dump in your disc and it work.
It work. That's what we want.
You know what that means? When that game comes, when Guitar Hero 5 comes out, you're going to go to Blockbuster. You're going to get a whole bunch of free tapes.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Put in your game. Best Buy tests selling new games at used prices. So this photo cropped up on the internet earlier this week. And it's got a picture of, it says, Best Buy now price matches new video games and used prices from GameStop or Game Crazy.
Wait. They'll sell you a new game for a used game price?
For the price of a used game at one of those two stores.
Wow.
Well, you say wow. And that was my first reaction. Because it is, I mean, if I can get, you know, a new game, especially because sometimes the price differences are huge. A used copy of a game might be $25 and a new one might still be $50. But again, your mileage may vary because usually they start marking down the used games about at the same rate they start marking down the new game. And so the amount of savings you get, it seems like it's going to vary.
And then
for most of the AAA games too, it's like the new game is going to be $60 and the used one is going to be $55.
Yeah, and right. Also like the way GameStop does it is they'll have a new game out on the shelf, like a AAA new game out on the shelf, probably, you know, 2 months before it's a used game on the shelf for the same price. Right. So they're just gobbling up all that
profit. Not 2 months. It's the same week.
Yeah, like...
Week one. I mean, like, I used to, you know, when I lived in Oxford, the dudes at the GameStop, they're like, yeah, people buy a new game, then they bring it back less than 4 days later. I don't understand. You are an idiot, but thank you for your money. This is only in this one. This is not all Best Buys now. It's a Utah branch of Best Buy. Apparently, they're trying it out in test markets. So if you go into Best Buy and you see this sign, you might as well, you know, get on your phone and start cooking some deals up.
Yep. And that's good because buying new games is far and away better than buying used ones because it puts money in William Miller's pocket.
I mean, I guess. You're a staunch believer of this mentality.
You have no...
I think you're thinking of a totally financial standpoint, all right?
I am. I'm thinking of my well-being and my livelihood. Okay. Justin Fick, you know what I'm talking about. Look, when you make games for a living, your livelihood depends on the sale of new games.
Okay, but
not
you're also
ones.
Playing that game, and if you like that game, you're going to tell other people about the game, too. All right, and you are like, for instance, you and me, we're talking about the game on a podcast. There's other ways to support a game besides... just financially.
I agree, but if you buy a used copy of a game, it does not benefit the people that made it. If, however, this is what's going to happen in the future, all of the major publishers are mobilizing to eliminate big box retail. They are all going to DLC.
It's not
going to
happen.
It will happen.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen right away. It's going to happen, though. Digital download.
It's going to happen. Absolutely.
Xbox is rolling theirs out pretty soon.
It's simple economics, right? To produce a box with a tape in it costs more money than to put it online.
Now, I understand pie in the sky, this will happen one day. I say it's at least 20 years off.
I don't think
20?
So.
No.
Yeah, things like Steam and XBLA and all that.
No, but you're saying, you said eliminate big box.
Eliminate.
You will never eliminate GameStop. You will never eliminate Walmart.
Yeah,
because
you can neuter them.
What no internet is.
Yeah, right. You can neuter them and you could marginalize them so much that they do what you want.
Maybe. I still don't think it's as close as you guys are saying, but I agree. All right, so if you live in Utah, you better be snatching up them tapes, and maybe if we get lucky, this will be like a nationwide rollout.
Do we have any BDP listeners in West Jordan, Utah, about 20 miles south of Salt Lake City?
If we do, I'm so sorry. First of all,
place. But he or she gets to buy new games at used prices.
But they might be Mormon. I don't know if they allow games.
Actually, I also get to have fun with my life. What the fuck, Utah? Come on.
Yeah, maybe Best Buy felt sorry for Utah. But you know what? Fuck it.
All right, so our last story, I got a bit of an update. This is a quick one. Remember that game we're talking about? Okay, so they had this game called Scratch, and then Activision bought it, and then they made DJ Hero, and then they tried to shove Scratch under the bus, right? So essentially they tried to buy it just so they could cancel it, and then they got sued, and now that game is coming out. Whoops, got delayed till 2010. DJ Hero comes out 2009. You're not going to make any money.
Missed the boat.
Yep. Done. Opportunity gone.
Game over.
Money, toilet.
Song.
They just took a wad of cash and threw it right in the toilet.
Yeah. So they have a new developer, Bedlam Games. So I don't know. We'll see. But I don't have much.
Wait. They switched developers?
Yeah, they switched.
Oh, dude,
developers.
That game is over. It's never coming out. And even if it does, no dice.
All right. Now it's time for releases.
All right, Blake Buck, this week in releases, we got Hearts of Iron 3
Wait,
for
these
PC.
These are old.
Yeah, Marvel vs. Capcom.
Oh, I see, PS3. I was thinking, never mind. These are not old.
You want to let me do my job now, Blake? Is that what you want to do?
You do so good, William.
All right, Hearts of Iron 3 for PC, dated August 11th, 2009. Hearts of Iron series returns for a third installment with new features and blah, blah, blah. We got Madden NFL 10.
I want that Madden tape.
Dude, Hearts of Iron has 10,000 provinces.
Excuse me. Hearts of Iron contains 10,000 provinces.
That's a lot of fucking provinces.
Madden contains 10 games.
All right. Madden's coming out for PS3, Xbox 360, Wii, PS2, and PSP. Of course, we all know the Madden franchise. Also, we got Marvel vs. Capcom 2 coming out for PS Triple. Marvel vs. Capcom 2 makes its way to PlayStation Network as a downloadable game.
Yeah, it came out on XBLA
right.
A few weeks
gotcha.
Ago. I don't know. Is Madden still a big seller as it was?
Madden is like now music. All right? There is a demographic of people that will buy every single now tape
that's released.
First of
all, I own every single now that's what I call music. But that's because I'm a DJ and I have to play shit music sometimes, right? Why anyone would actually buy that is beyond me.
I don't know, though. They keep adding new features. Like, the new Madden has got, I think it's got that new Ghost AI. Have you heard about this, Justin Fick?
I thought you were going to say
a little bit. I know it's got, they've totally changed around the gameplay mechanic.
Yeah. I think they keep iterating on it. The cool thing about this is that this Ghost AI is, like, if you play the game, you play this tape for a little while, the tape will record how you play, like, different cues as to what decisions you're going to make in different situations. And then if your buddy wants to play you and you're not online, they can download your ghost and play your ghost.
That's fucking crazy.
It's cool. I think it's really cool.
I would question how.
Well, think about it. If you wanted to play like the top Madden player in the world, but you're a scrub player and he ain't gonna talk to you, right? You can download his ghost and play against some really, really awesome players without actually having to know.
Well, I'm just saying, I question how closely it actually mirrors you. I mean, I know.
I don't know either.
I know in their press release they says it's indistinguishable.
Just the idea though, some weird fucked up Section 9 shit.
Everybody is talking about this movie.
District 9? Is that what you mean?
District 9. I gotta go.
No, I'm talking
thing.
About Section 9, Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, what is...
Oh.
District 9 looks cool, too. I'll go see it.
I didn't like Ghost in the Shell because all the women look like men. Is that bad? Like, I wanted to be attracted to them, but they look like men.
I remember watching... That was, like, one of the first animes I watched back when I was like, ooh, cartoons?
Cartoons
from Japan? Yeah, exactly. Like, back in, like, you know, 002 or whatever when I found out anime was real. Thumbs down on Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell is actually really good, but I did not like the character design very much. But anyway, that's another podcast. What else we got?
All right, Death to Spies, Moment of Truth for PC. Coming out on the 10th, the standalone follow-up to Death to Spies features more stealthy third-person action.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Fossil Fighters. What? All right, we're scraping on the DS. Fossil hunting on your DS, and now you use a stylus to hammer, chip, drill, and brush away.
All right. When I was a child, I actually collected, like, I had a rock hammer. We would go out to these old, like, these road construction sites where they had dug up fossils, and I'd actually do this shit for real. Kids these days just have a DS game that they play.
Like, no, dude, you were that kid in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that was me. He's like, that was me.
Remember at the beginning, he's like, dinosaurs aren't birds, and then he takes that claw and, like, cuts his stomach with it.
Yeah, exactly.
That was you.
Anyway, I think
spilling
this is lame.
Spilling out your intestines. Come the two raptors you never even saw.
Dude, we need to watch that movie. That movie's awesome.
You're still alive when they start to eat you.
Still Life 2, PC, 11th. Still Life 2, second chapter of Still Life story that will have you following the case of an East Coast killer. I love casual gaming. Justin Fick.
This is not quite Half-Life 2.
Still Life.
All right, so rounding out the releases, we have Trials HD coming out for Xbox 360. This is your next Sim of Arcade title. This comes out the 12th. Trials HD is a motorcycle racing game available for download on Xbox Live Arcade, featuring more than 50 tracks. No provinces, but what this doesn't mention is that this is basically Motocross Maniacs with 10 times as many explosions and jetpacks and exploding barrels and all that good shit. Track editor.
Have you seen, like, trailers and stuff for this? I haven't really seen much.
Yeah.
Does it look good?
It looks like a lot of fun.
Would bet be.
Because I got to buy it to get them free points.
Indeed. And then last one rounding out is Core. This is one of those games that the name of the game is actually an acronym. Oh, it's C-O-R-E.
Sound the alarm. Blake Buck hates these games.
Close, Operative, Recon, Extreme, Core. We're coming. It's a follow-up to ODST.
And Fear.
And Stalker.
And yeah. Rage.
And Rage.
God, I hate these. I'm going to make one. It's Dick.
What does it stand for?
Direct Impulse Recon. Wait, I can't even spell Dick. Direct Impulse Combat. Two combats.
One with a K.
What is derivative of Mortal Kombat? All right. So now it's time for the judgment. First up, we got Explosion Man. This is the first XBLA summer game. You play a little dude, you press a button, you explode. I like in the menus, you go into controls, and it just says splode. All buttons, splode. So you go around, and instead of jumping, you splode. It's got a cool visual style. Your dude's always, like, laughing and screaming like a crazy person. Like, if you run to the right for long enough, he puts his arm like an airplane, makes airplane noises when you're running. It's pretty funny.
You know, yeah. Picture Blake Buck on fire, on speed at all times.
Yeah, it's pretty much it. So the gameplay is pretty cool because you use explosions kind of, like, move around the levels. And, like, they're scientists, and you have to kill them. So when you go up to them, you hit explode, and they turn into, like, steaks on the ground.
Chunks
like
of meat.
Like, steaks pour out of them. And it got an E rating. I don't know. That seems still a little inappropriate for E10+, but all right. It also has really cool multiplayer. Up to four, your friends can be splodin' at the same time. And some of the multiplayer game is totally different from single player because you have to splode off each other to, like, get to new areas
and
stuff.
Co-op is great.
So, yeah, it's cooperative, and so it's totally different. So you're really getting, like, two games in one. The only cons is the levels get somewhat repetitive. There's three sets of 18 levels. And once you're, like you know, 12 in, you're like, Jesus, I'm still in this factory, huh? Okay. But so it kind of wears a little thin, but the levels are fun. It's definitely worth the $10. Try it out if you're looking for something fun in this XBLA summer heat. Next up, we got Marvel vs. Capcom 2. All right, now, I used to love this game back in the day. Did a little pre-judgment last week. Went and bought it this week. First of all, the game has a huge cast, which is awesome. It's like 56-something characters.
Damn.
And they are all unlocked right from the start. What I really like about Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is that it is very accessible and at the same time not accessible. There are people who play this game who are like, say, it is the greatest fighting game ever made and are at super pro high levels of play who play this game. At the same time, I got drunk and we just mashed buttons and it was awesome playing it.
Blake thought it'd be a great idea to make a team entirely of juggernauts.
Right. Three juggernauts back to back.
That don't work so well.
How can you beat three? All right, maybe you beat one juggernaut. All right, maybe you beat another, but three juggernauts in a row? He's so big, he takes up the whole screen. How is that even fair? So, it's cool on like a very simple level, but I mean, it's sort of like, I like this game regardless of how good you are at it. All right, and it is pretty much the classic. I mean, this game is a classic. They still play it at these, you know, fighting convention, you know, tournaments and stuff. The cons, I talked about the huge cast. Everything is unlocked from the start. Unlike on the Dreamcast, you had kind of single player. You'd play through and unlock the characters. So there's really no reason to play single player. You know, back in the day, you would get new costumes, new outfits and stuff. All that's instantly unlocked, which... They did the same thing for Soul Calibur when it came out. I guess that's okay, but still, I don't know. Some sort of, if not that, some sort of unlocking system would have been cool. And number two, the online does not work. Now, you might think that means, oh, there's a bug in the network code. No, that is not what that means. You get your fucking ass beat. Because the people that play this game online all the time are the people that are crazy fucking good at it. And you don't even, I've never even clicked online. I don't ever even want to see what happens when you do. Because you're just going to get stomped into a fucking mud hole.
Does it not have any kind of, like, skill-based matchmaking system
or
anything
like that?
I'm sure
it does, but the problem is, the people that play this game, to get good at this game, you have to play it constantly. So the people that are playing it constantly are the people that are really good. So if you go into matchmaking, I mean, let's say there's 100 people playing online at once. 95 of those people are amazing at it. Mm-hmm. And 5 are getting their ass beat like you. And the chances of you getting matched up with somebody you're actually on level with are very low.
Yeah, it's a lot like Street Fighter 4. Like, you play online, you're gonna get demolished.
It's its baseline is so much higher than the normal human's, like, skill.
Right. So, I mentioned this last time. Or I mentioned some of this last time, but, like, a lot of the frills of the original game are gone, too. Like, the game had this cool intro where they kind of showed all the characters in the beginning, and as you unlocked them, more would appear in the intro. And I don't know, the presentation in the original was very cool, and a lot of that's lost. The menus are kind of bland in the new one, so I would give it, like, a half thumbs up. A thumbs up on the game, thumbs down on the port, and the fact that you get your ass beat. But overall, it's a good game. All right, Vic, since I still have another two, you want to do your judgment real quick?
I got, believe it or not, I got an iPhone judgment.
Ooh.
That's the first one we've ever had on the show, I think.
So, normally I don't like a whole lot of iPhone games. To me, it looks, you know, to me it's like this casual game toilet for the most part. Like you look at the top apps on iTunes, it's all garbage. But there's one game that came out not too long ago that made me a little wet with excitement. this game is called Space Invaders Infinity Gene.
Oh. I've played this game. Continue, Justin Fick.
Okay, so Taito released their original Space Invaders a while back for $5. You know, decent reception and everything. But they've now released Infinity Gene, which is an iPhone-specific, you know, version of Space Invader. It's an all new game, and it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So basically, it starts up, like, the whole theme of the game is about, you know, evolution and shit. So you start off, like, your first level is Space Invaders, as you remember, it's the old arcade game. And then halfway through the level, like, it evolves into this, and so like the level evolves, and your ship evolves into a more modern shooter, and then it just goes fucking spastic ape shit shooter. Yeah. Jones.
It's like batshit insane. It's the craziest shmup on one of the craziest shmups I've ever seen. It is wild.
Wild. This game is wonderful. It's $5, so it's, you know, like, XBLA games don't get this cheap anymore.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, it's a little pricey for an iPhone game, which is usually, you know, 99-cent garbage. But, you know, for $5, you get a wonderful shooter. So, like, and then the shooter comes with about, you know, 18 or so levels of the regular game. But as you play through the levels, your score in the level goes towards evolving a new gene in your ship. Mm. So, you know, like, a gene could be another gun. It could be, like, an ability, like the ability to chain attacks. It could be, you know, certain counterattacks you could evolve. I mean, they're pretty much just basically, you know, sequential unlocks. But it's very cool. By the end of the game, you're evolving, like, you know, like the ability to start with more lives. You can evolve the ability to go to secret levels. Like, I've found at least 12 secret levels so far.
Wow.
Which, you know, and then I'm not done evolving either. So there's at least 30 levels. Not only that, you at any point, you can go to the main menu and hit music. And what this does is it opens up your iPod library. You pick a song, and then it generates a level based on that song.
Wait, so does it sync up with the music as it plays, or is it just, like, from a gameplay standpoint?
It's more like, I think it uses some of the information of the song as, like, a random seed, and it sort of pseudo-generates. So it's not, like, to the beat of the music. It does give you that feeling, like, because it's your music and because this level's based on it, you kind of draw these conclusions yourself. Like, you know, like, if it even feels like it could have matched up with the music, like, oh shit, that was awesome.
Right. It's more, like, perceived than anything.
Yeah, it's more perceived, but it's kind of cool because you can play the same level over and over again with your song. So, like, if I play if I play Fueled by Metallica and I get a certain level, I could play that song again and get that exact same level. And, in fact, someone else could play that song on their iPhone and get the exact same level.
So the real question then is, what does this show sound like in...
Oh yeah! Somebody play one of our MP3s on your tape and tell us how hard the level is. It better be filled with dicks or something.
Now
dicks going through.
Now what it does do, and I think we'd be proud to know that it does use the length of the song as the length of the level.
Oh, whoa.
That's cool.
That'd
be a mighty level for you.
Yeah, so that's like marathon prog rock shit is the best damn podcast ever. Two hour levels.
Nice.
If someone has an iPhone out there, this should be their battle. Is beat one of our podcasts on Space Invaders.
There you go.
But yeah, no, thumbs way up on this. It plays great. It's fucking, I don't know.
Actually, you know what we should do, Jessefic?
Twitter.
We should author an MP3. We'll experiment a little bit with it and see what the algorithm is actually picking out.
Yeah, I was
and then
just
we'll author
that.
A level by making noises well, into the mic
know, like
for you.
I've done a lot of stuff with like the iPod music kind of things. Like, you can't get a whole lot out of it right now. Like, you can't even get, like, the actual song data.
Oh, okay.
Probably what it's doing is taking the, this is gonna be so nerdy right now, but it's probably taking your tags. So, like,
hashing,
you know,
them or something?
Hashing them and then making some sort of seed out of that.
Mm. Okay.
But, you know, I have done the, you know, taking some of the Laserface Jones music that I wrote, drawing it out so it's like 5 or 10 minutes, and then making a level out of that. It good.
That's cool.
Huh. We'll see. We'll do some research.
I'm going to play my, look, I'm going to go get it when I take a shit, and I'm going to play my Pop Chop. That's what I'm going to do. Oh, cool. Dude, I'm going to get that. I'm saying, next time I take a shit, getting that game. That's a good thing about iPhone games. All right, two really quick more judgments for you guys. Turtles in Time reshelled. We talked about this last week. Pros, dude, Turtles. New graphics look good. Cons, this game is crazy cheap. You know, you lose a million quarters, and it has no original graphics. Other than that, though, it's new Ninja Turtles, baby. Come on. $10. Jump on board.
Now,
you got beef?
I don't know. Like Blade Bug, I think you need to convince me that I don't hate this game.
Okay, first of all, did you play the original Turtles in Time back?
The original
day?
Is wonderful.
Okay, well then,
I saw the trailer they put out for Turtles in Time Reshelled, and it looks absolute shit.
It's what looks shit about it to you?
I don't know. Maybe it was just the trailer was so incredibly bad that it the trailer is completely boner killing. It's
I got to give
terrible.
Them that the trailer is pretty terrible.
I did not see this trailer.
The trailer is awful.
Well, is it mostly gameplay or is it mostly cutscenes or what?
It looks like snippets of like a second of gameplay slowed down, but like it just showed off how awful the 3D models were, in my opinion, anyway. And it's just one of those things like, why don't you just release the original fucking game?
First of all, you got to remember they're trying to get traction with the new generation of Ninja Turtles. All right. You know, because apparently there's a whole new generation of Ninja Turtle players out there.
One of them's in a wheelchair.
One of them uses sign language.
Yeah, right.
Look. I'm not going to make that joke. When Blake Buck says no to a joke, we have reached a new level. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Remind me. All right. But dude, it's Ninja Turtles. I love Ninja Turtles. Gameplay, it's exactly like the original. I like the art style because it's bright and colorful. It stays pretty true to the original. Just it's like 3D. I think it's awesome.
I guess if the gameplay can stand up to the original, because like and it's not just like a remake the way Bionic Commando was a remake, because that game was awful.
Well, look, I just say give it a try, because I was in the first like 10 seconds, I was like sold. So if that's not what happens to you, I guess it's not worth it.
And then I might need a condition also. My condition might be I would buy this game provided that none of the money that I pay goes to the guy that made this trailer.
All right, my last review for you guys. You know, I've given everything pretty much a thumbs up, or at least a marginal thumbs up. R-Type Dimensions. It's on sale this week, 33% off. It was $15. I was going to say the demo. And I was like, this is a really good game. I like its graphics. I like its style. You press one button to flip between art styles.
That's cool.
It's like you can kind of like rearrange. You get like a 3D view where it's like at an angle. It's got two-player unlimited lives. I thought, you know, this is cool. It's not $15 cool. But if they ever drop the price, I'd buy it. This week they dropped the price. I bought it. All of those things that I said about it, you know, it's two games in one. It's got nice graphics. That's all true. What I did not realize. This is the hardest fucking game ever made. Hands down, Ninja Gaiden, fucking nothing. Nothing is as hard as this fucking game. Now, I know they give you unlimited lives, but there is something very disheartening about dying 30 plus times on level 2. The last boss of R-Type 1, I probably died 50 times at. It's not how anyone could. And you know, in the original, you can play like classic mode. When you die, you go back to a checkpoint, usually at the middle of the level. If you're at the boss, you go back to the middle, and you have to play all the way up there. One hit kills you. Oh my god, I cannot believe people. This game is popular. Like, people played it in arcades like, ooh, give me some more of this. Are you fucking kidding me? I think, what did you call it, William Miller? You said it was the Catholic equivalent.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the Catholic equivalent of playing R-Type is flagellation. Like, this is a game of penance.
So, I was drunk, and so I still had fun, but just barely.
It could have gone either way.
It was like 3 in the morning. I was drinking. I was still having fun, but it was just barely that I was having fun. So, if you're really into these shooters, or you liked it back in the day, otherwise, stay away. It is too hard. It's like thick. It is thick hard.
Well, I know, like, R-Type is still, you know, like, their big thing is the one-hit kills and then sends you back, like, 30 minutes in the game. Like, that's one of those things that other shooters kind of, they've evolved away. Like, Gradius has gone to the, you die and you come right back where you are.
Right. Well, I was playing the classic mode, and I could understand, like, as I was playing level one, you know, I would die and I would go back, and then I would play it again, I would die and I would go back. But as the more I played it, the more I learned, you know, I learned the patterns, I learned what to dodge, I learned how the boss moved. And by the end, when I finally did beat it on, like, original mode and not on, like, cheat unlimited lives mode, I did have a very, like, there was a nice sense of accomplishment, like, I can beat this level without dying now because I've learned it. And so I guess in that sense, it is kind of cool because you do get this feeling of accomplishment when you do beat a level.
Yeah, but, I think that's you know, a little different from like what Gradius does now. Like it's not like if you beat R-Type, you can basically beat it without dying.
Right.
You know, because if you die, you have to do the whole thing over again, so you do it without dying. But, right. You know, Gradius, because it gives you a bunch of lives, like you know, they've sort of done the whole treasure thing where you can come back right where you died, but we're going to make the game a lot harder for it. Like, it's going to be a lot harder to not die. So that's that, you know, that I think is a lot more exhilarating, you know, that you did get through this part without dying that has a million bullets on screen, where in R-Type, you can die just by the stray bullet that came, you know, that you didn't see or something.
Right.
And now you gotta go back 5 minutes. Like, it's a little different.
But when you get really good at it, it's sort of like the Matrix, you know? Like, you see the bullets, and you're, like, dodging them in slow-mo. Yeah. So there's something to that. But anyway, if you like pain, there you go. All right, it's time for the jank. All right, jank this week, GTA Chinatown Wars for the DS is $20 at Target this week. If you like GTA and you got a DS, you should give it a try. $20 at Target this week only. Discussion time.
All right, so this discussion comes with a bit of news, which we have here. Blake Buck, why don't you tell us what this news is? It kicked off this discussion.
Okay, so I'm cruising around the internet, and I see this story. 50 Cent to appear in Modern Warfare 2.
Nice.
So
that was my reaction as well.
50 Cent, my favorite game starring rapper.
Okay, 50 is like the modern day Rambo, right? When they wanted to end Vietnam, they just put him in it. 3 movies later, it's done. And then it starts up a little bit again. He had to go finish it again. But that's what 50's like.
So on his blog recently, he went to Infinity Ward. 50 at Infinity. There's something to that. I don't know what it is yet.
Infinity Cent?
Infinity there Cent. There you go.
Or they start spelling it Infinity War. Like,
dude, I spell another game. Infinity Cent.
So, he's going to be voicing a multiplayer. It says the quote is a multiplayer voice. So I guess he's going to be like, I don't know, maybe a squad mate or something. It's not real clear exactly.
Maybe he's like the announcer from an Unreal Tournament. That would be so fucking sick. You know it would.
Oh, imagine like you call in the helicopter. Yo, man, helicopter coming. Watch out.
Because that's exactly what 50 sounds like, Blake. Good job. That's good.
That's what I would sound. That's what I would say.
Is that what you would say?
Why not?
Okay.
What all songs is 50 sing?
In the club.
What's another one he does? That's the only one I know. He doesn't have that many hits, does he? What? I guess I'm not a diehard 50
Cent. He got shot 50 times once in the mouth.
I don't think he has that many hits that crossed over to us. I think he's got a lot of hits, like, in the hip-hop community. But as for, like, top 10
okay.
tracks,
see, that's
I think
the thing. Not a whole lot
many.
Of things cross over to us.
Dude, whatever.
We are outliers.
Look, I know about hip-hop music, all right? I'm just saying, his tracks are not as big as they once were. But even then,
what I'm just saying is there's like a whole, like, you have this very small perception of hip hop music.
That's probably
there is a whole, like, genre that you are missing. And I think 50 is big there, was much bigger there than he was, you know, in the top 40 Casey Kasem charts, you know. But anyway,
I just want him to go after those skulls again in this game. Like, what was it?
No, it's
diamond skull.
Here's what it is. It's a new multiplayer mode. There are jewel-encrusted skulls scattered around the level. And it's like Pac-Man, right? As soon as you get one of the skulls, you're invincible for a short period of time. And you and the G-Unit get to vie for control of the map. Or skulls could be like control points, you know? And there's a new mode in UT3 like that, control point mode, I don't know.
Yeah, domination.
Okay. Domination, that's it.
Okay, but this brings us to our real topic here. celebrities and video games.
Well, very, very quick before you jump into that, I'm reading ahead here. It says that Robert Bowling from Infinity Ward says that 50 Cent is, quote, one of many squad voices that you will hear in multiplayer and special ops mode in Modern Warfare 2. Expect to hear 50 saying things like, reloading, watch your fire, I'm down, get me up, and tango down.
I'm excited to hear 50 say those things. I'm excited.
None of these say anything about watermelon.
You are the biggest son of a bitch.
I swear to God, I make one racist joke. Miller is up the goddamn wall.
It's not even,
look at you.
It doesn't even have any context. It's not like we're just talking about a black person and Blake says watermelon and that's his joke. Like,
that's not even a joke.
Right, exactly. That's just Blake's like seething racism.
Look, it makes
like,
me laugh. It makes me laugh because I'm racist.
Okay, all right.
Horribly, horribly racist.
So anyway,
I don't want Andre on this show ever again. And we're on our way.
So anyway, celebrities in games. Now I think back in the day before video games caught on, it was celebrities in movies. Like sports stars would be in movies. Right now, it's musicians and stuff in video games. So what are some high profile games that have had celebrities in them, Blake Buck?
Well, obviously, Moonwalker being my favorite of all time, starring Michael
Moonwalker
Jackson.
Moonwalker was a good fucking game, though.
Not only did that have Michael Jackson, but it also had his ride, Michael's Battle Plane, which is a real thing.
It also had Michael in robot form.
That's right.
But yeah, what else? What are some other games? Michael was also in Space Channel 5, 1 and 2.
Right.
Trying to think of some other celebrity games.
Shaq Fu. I love Shaq Fu because you're in Tokyo. You're doing a charity basketball game for the Japanese, and you step into martial arts dojo and are sucked into another dimension, and you have to kick all their asses. Like, when you get there, you just automatically start fighting people, because that's how you react to a situation like that.
Exactly.
Horrible game, but I beat it. My roommate.
Wasn't there a Barkley game, like Barkley?
There's Charles Barkley, Shut Up and Jam.
Shut Guiden. Up and Jam.
That's Shut it. Up and Jam Guiden. Okay, all right. This game is one of my favorite indie games of all time. It's a game made in RPG Maker. I forget who the guy was that did it. Charles Barkley, Shut Up and Jam Guiden. Go get it. It's set in the future when basketball has been made illegal because Charles Barkley did the chaos dunk, which killed 6 million people. That's how the game begins. It is amazing. Go play it. Have I talked about this on the show? We have a guy that works at Firaxis, and he had to work on a Miley Cyrus game for the Wii, right? And he had to like stare at pictures of her for days and days, like
Dude,
for
does,
months.
Does he have like a perpetual right? twitch now?
Yeah, and like if you even mention,
he's not quite right in the head.
If he even
anymore.
Mention that, it sets him off. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Dude, I was in the grocery store the other day, and then I was buying cereals. I bought myself $30 worth of cereals, and I'm flipping through the shelves here. Got my Frosted Flakes, got my Crunch Berries, and I come across Hannah Montana cereal. Now, this isn't like Hannah Montana's, like, you know, Corn Puffs or Hannah Montana Chex. No, all it says is Hannah Montana. It doesn't even say what it is. I don't recall seeing a picture of the cereal on the box. It's just a box with Hannah Montana's face on it, with her name on it, that's filed away with the cereals. I can only presume that it was cereal. There's no punchline to that.
What's his name? Slash was in Guitar Hero 3. I'm going to be in a game, you know, one day, so that counts.
Actually, Blake is going to be in a game.
Trying to think of what my celebrity cash in. Well, first of all, we need to ask, why do celebrities have game? I mean, why are celebrities, like, when Fitty comes out with a game, is that bankable enough to make the game?
I don't know. Like, yeah, would that, say, take Blood in the Sand, for example. Would that game have sold if it were generic, like, you know,
no.
Desert? See, right. I think the game is fun.
No one would have given
a shit.
The
game is funny because they took Fitty and his persona and just made a game out of it. And, like, they did, you know, it was what it was. It didn't take it too seriously. Like, Bulletproof, for example, was too serious. The game was, like, overly dramatized, you know, melodrama.
Right.
This game, Blood in the Sand, is just, like, our romanticized vision of what Fitty is.
That, no, it's real. That is his life.
Okay.
That actually
right,
happened.
That actually happened.
This is
it's
based
autobiographical.
On a true story.
So, anyway, I think whereas, like, before, you had celebrity tie-ins. Now it's like games about celebrities, about the mythos behind a celebrity, which I think is awesome.
That's way better.
That's way,
oh,
way
wait,
better.
Wait, I got one. Gary Coleman is in Postal.
That's right. Oh, my God. What a classic.
Oh, man. Oh, and Bill Clinton is in NBA Jam.
Yes, that he is.
In big head mode, right?
You could enable both of them at the same time.
Okay, all right.
And putting the right... I'm slapping my hands as if slapping the buttons during you. You know, you'd enter your name in. And,
I think
Mortal Kombat. What a genius idea. More games need that.
I think
load
all
screen,
games, yeah.
With mash buttons and maybe put a code in somehow.
All games need code entry screen.
Genius idea.
Awesome.
Our podcast, our website needs that. Like, if you just mash keys on
you
a website.
You certain codes, you get shit.
So... Definitely, celebrities have always been in games. If you go back as far as, you know, the Atari, ColecoVision, you know, you still had sports figures, and I'm trying to think of, like, an Atari 2600 game that had, like, a TV celebrity. I can't think of one, but if you can, feedback at Best Damn Podcast Ever. I'm sure they're here to stay, celebrities in games.
I'm sure Bruce Lee has been in
something. Oh, Brutal Legend. We forgot to mention that. That is essentially Jack Black as that character, I mean.
Right. Peach is going to have to take out my racist jokes. Because nobody laughed at him. I'm telling you, I'm the only one that thinks they're funny, apparently.
I just like calling you on them. I think that's funnier. It's like making fun of you for your bad
jokes.
I
swear to God, if I can make fun of Chinese people, I can make fun. We made fun of handicapped people. I say one thing about racist, about black people, and you are just all up in a tizzy.
I just think it's funny, like... You just kind of mumbled watermelon in the middle of the...
No, there was more to it than... No, you were reading off things he said. So it was like, watch your fire. I'm down. Get me up. There's too many seeds in this one.
All right, that's horrible.
All right, you're gonna have to clean us up, Peachy.
I will be the ref for the Blake Buck Andre Meadows cage match.
All right, it's time for feedback.
All right, we're gonna Leggy McJiggy has sent us an email.
First of all, we got no voicemails. We only got emails, and you know how we hate reading,
right? So all of you guys are on a shit list. Leggy McJiggy sent us an email, but he's the guy that came up with the great Battle of Yore. Where we had a contestant and his buddies dress up like Pac-Man characters and run through a Walmart. That was one of the best battles we've ever had, I think. He has another one. And I'm not going to read this email because I want to save it. We might actually use this battle.
Speaking of which, the only reason we're not having battles is because we don't have anybody new on the horn.
For our new listeners out there, battle is how we mainly interact with our listeners.
Right. And it's a challenge we issue you.
Right.
You, and if you win, you get glory. So our next email comes from Beetle. He says, "Holla, Lords of Gaming. This is Beetle from the forums. Frequent show equals good. Contest entry here." So he's got a contest entry. Thick wears a Soldier Boy. Thick wears Soldier Boy shoes and has a turbo tongue. Sing Wild Wild West. Please, Blake Pussy Doubler, G Unit. So if you click on this link here and open it up.
Nice!
Or look in your feed. All right, let's go from left to right. In the top left, we've got a gun and a chainsaw. All right. It's achievement unlocked, tits and chainsaws. There's weed coming out the top of your teledictronics
arcade cabinet.
And I believe there's a... Is that a dildo sticking out of it?
Yeah. That is a dildo sticking out of this empty this empty arcade cabinet.
It's got Contra 4 on the side. It's... what is this? Is that Monopoly or something? I don't know what that is coming out of it. It looks like maybe a frozen pizzas or something. I can't tell what that is.
That, dude, those are chip witches.
Oh.
Do you not recognize the chip witch when you see it, son?
I guess not. There's Red Bull. There's a naked chick with weed over her private parts.
There's a penis that's crudely drawn and coming in the side of the frame.
I was going to say
there's a dick sneaking into the frame from the
that
left.
That is my favorite part. It's like, what? It's like he got to the end. He put on, and he's like, this is just, it needs
there's
like
there's a little too much negative space on the left
there
here.
There needs
I need
to just be some dick in there. Just stick the tip of a dick. Let's just put that in there. This is a strong entry, my friend.
Indeed. And I'm getting an achievement for all this, apparently, too.
That's awesome.
So, an excellent entry. I don't know. We'll see if we have any more entries. Fick, you want to take this next one?
Remember, our good buddy Kyle Dane writes in, "Well, I know the format is to give a title and away a description. I honestly have no clue what this film
okay,
was."
Okay, he's talking about Stump. That was his subject.
Okay.
So he says, "I'm tearing my hair out trying to remember a movie I saw maybe 15 years ago. The plot involved two aliens who looked like people out of the 50s. The woman had a big beehive hairdo that may have had a swing open. It's called Mars Attacks."
Yeah, it's Mars Attacks.
That's it. "Who are looking for this teenage guy they claim was their son. Supposedly this guy has a map in his brain that will point these aliens back to their home, but he needs some spectacular event to spark the information forward." Maybe it's not Mars Attacks. "They resolve that he needs to have sex with a pretty girl at school to crack open the information, and during the act, it comes to him as being a star or planet called B-52, after a rush of thought about the aircraft being the science class lecture from earlier in the film. The ending reeks something of a coming-of-age film and a question of whether or not the aliens were just crazy people, but I'm not really sure. I know you guys have sampled some of the weird and amazing stuff out there, and I thought I'd give you a shot at figuring it out. Fuck, I love Pot Choppers. Keep up the good work. Mike Kyodane."
I have no idea.
So no, it's not Mars Attacks.
I do not know at all what this movie is.
I have no clue.
But it sounds
like a little bit Mars Attacks. Sounds like a little bit Transformers 2.
Yep.
Transform B-52 in the sand. Maybe.
Again. Dude, we saw Transformers 2, right? We were talking about this earlier. Transformers 2, like, the main action sequences take place in exactly the same, like, Middle Eastern town that they did in the first one. Like, that poor town has gotten destroyed by...
They're like, motherfucker,
right.
Dude,
they just,
seriously?
They just rebuilt their huts and, like, their, you know, whatever, and they just get blown to shit again.
That's what you get for living in the Middle East.
Apparently so, I don't know. All right. Joe Ricci has written in, and he's complaining about losing at battle. And I don't even remember what his battle was, but he says,
"Yeah, I don't either."
He says, "Hey, winners, Joe Ricci, feeding you back some helpful feedback. I noticed I got nixed out of my battle. It made me feel like I got fingerbang.com'd. Either I'm just pathetic, okay, or you wanted to save me from the forum monglers. I do not know. Regardless, feels like the gods of gaming just deuced all over my chest." Breaks my soul, gentlemen. What is it, because I'm Canadian? Moving on, something for your judgment.
First of all, yes, it is because you're Canadian. Come on. Canadians aren't even people.
Well, hold on, was this the dude where we called him up and, like, one of his buddies, like, swore at us? I think this is the dude.
I don't remember.
Anyway.
Yeah, we are deucing all over your chest.
Something for your judgment, the brand new robot of MechWarrior, and he has a link. Video.
That's a reboot.
Excuse me. The brand new reboot of MechWarrior. The video is boner inducing, and the idea of leveling up your mechs sounds innovative. Check it out. Other than that, it's good to hear you fine gentlemen again. Keep it up.
First of all, this game's not done by FASA, which all the old MechWarrior games were. It's done by like some new developer, I think. And second of all, you know what my problem is with most of these? It's done by Piranha Games. My problem with all these MechWarrior games, I think no giant robot game has ever really captured the feeling that you're big.
Except, I think, well, you weren't really a giant robot in Earth Defense Force, but there were giant robots,
right,
in
exactly.
That game.
Like, I'm not saying the perspective has to be low to the ground or whatever, or maybe it does, but like, you play MechWarrior, it doesn't feel like I'm a giant robot in a city. It feels like I'm a man walking around like, you know, a bunch of, like, cardboard boxes.
Now, wait a minute. There was a game. I played this game when I was at Harmonix, so it came out about that time. PS2. This will be a stump for all you listeners out there. There's a game. It was a giant mech warrior or mech game, Japanese mech game. And you were a dude that you could run around your little man, and you could fly in the air a little bit. But then you could hop in your mech, and you could control your mech. And the control scheme was, like, literally, you know, left trigger is left foot, right trigger is right foot. Like, you had to control all the different parts. But what was cool about it, you might think that sounds really dumb, but what was cool about it is the game, because the movements of the mech were so slow, it really felt like you were massive. And because all of your movements were very meticulous, and you were just knocking shit over all the time, it was fun, especially multiplayer. You would just be standing together, you know, right next to each other, two big mechs, like slugfest. in the middle of the city. I don't remember what that game is called. Somebody tell me what that game's called.
I don't know.
I got another giant robot game that made you feel massive. Like, you weren't a robot the whole time, but when you were just like this total fucking dominant beast that just blew up everything in the entire level. And that game is Moonwalker. I'm sorry, that game is you become a robot.
You do.
And you just destroy everything in the level. It's like tons of, like, you know, bad, evil, like, SWAT dudes. They don't give a shit. Because nothing can hurt you. You are invincible for the rest of the level.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on MechWarrior. All right, Craig Reed, I just loaded... Okay, so he sent us an email that says, contest was the subject. I just loaded the thing with marijuana plants. I mean, loading it with... weed is one thing, but once you've smoked it all, you've got no more weed, baby.
Now, that's a parable. What is it? Give a man to fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for his whole life. That's what he's saying right now. He's giving you weed forever.
So it's plants. And there was a box to be filled so thick, I guess, sells bongs in his spare time or something because he has a box of them now. I guess he meant to attach a contest entry to this email. He did not.
Okay, Craig Reed, listen up. You've seen what you're up against now. So you might want to rethink, because this doesn't sound very strong to me.
You have a chance to revise.
You might want to rethink.
In fact, both
to.
Of y'all. All right, or anybody else. We got one more week on this contest. Push it out, and let's up the stakes a little bit. And I know this will really perk Craig Reed's interest. Whoever you are on the forums... your post count will get +100 if you win this contest.
That's like our makeshift gamer score is post count. Nice.
We have the power.
We do. We do have the power.
So whoever wins this gets 100 extra posts. This is the shittiest contest ever. Oh, all right. Take a moment of silence here for Stump. No, just kidding. Don't take a moment of silence. And we're done. That does it for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about
good
that?
Good show.
Pretty good.
If you want to send us any feedback, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com. Or call our listener line at 845-BATTLE-9. We prefer the listener line, all you emailing assholes. Furthermore, if you want to sign up for battle, you actually want to hear a battle for next week, either send us an email with battle in the subject with your telephone number or call us on our listener line and tell us you want to battle.
Also, battle is not for pussies. All right.
Right. If you're not a pussy,
do not send us where you live. Do not send us your age. Do not send us your time zone.
I don't need anything.
We do not care. We will call you when we call you.
Either you're down or you're not.
Right. So it's extreme. Look, this is for the hardest of core.
Right.
Okay?
You might get...
If it's 4 in the morning when we call you and you can't and you're just waking up and you don't want to do
shit... You fail.
That's fine.
Here's what we're going to do. If you do real good at battle, you get 100 posts. If you do bad, you lose 100.
There you go.
All right.
Can we have negative posts?
Yeah, well, I don't know. We need to look into that. We got a science team on it. All right. If you want to send us any K, it's donate@bestdamnpodcastever.com. I want to shoot this idea by you guys. All right. Tell me what you think. All right. Now, we're trying to get some promotion behind the show. All right. But right now, we're sort of retooling the site. We're not quite ready. So here's my makeshift promotional idea. For every listener out there, all right, you have a choice. One option or the other. You either go and get somebody to subscribe to our show or tell someone about our show, like really tell them. Not like, oh, hey, I heard the show and I listen, and you should listen too. No, like get somebody to actually listen to our show and like subscribe to it, like legitimately, not just some passing comment, or you send us $5.
Yeah, either one. You're required to.
All listeners are required to do one of those two things.
Yep.
So
that's your homework.
If you want your name to go down in the annals of BDP history,
right?
What you do is you get a bunch of your friends. You all dress up as Pac-Man, and then you run through your store, but you have to do it until you get arrested. And then while you are arrested, make sure there's TV cameras. You scream the name of our podcast. Over
also, right when you are in prison, you must get Lysol to subscribe.
Dude, that is so racist. Come on, man. Lysol? Dude, not even cool at all.
Minus 100 post.
So I think we need a name for this. I don't know what it is. It's like
homework.
It's pay or pod. I don't know. This is our pay or pod.
It's promo. Pay or promote.
Pay or promote. You either send us $5 or you get somebody to subscribe.
And, again, and really, like, all...
But this doesn't mean, like, I told my friend Tim, like, oh, subscribe to the show. They have to actually subscribe.
And listen, guys, to run the show is about $35 a month. So all we need is 35 divided by 5, which is 7. So I did that math.
If 7 people...
That's a few more listeners than we got, but that's cool.
Yeah, what the fuck? You assholes! Where's my money? Fuck all y'all!
And with that,
it's from all of us here at the best damn podcast ever. I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin Fick.
And we'll see you next time.